is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
What's up, everybody? Hope you had a great weekend. And I hope you're ready to talk about the rest of our PPR mock draft. We got through the first three rounds on Friday. Yeah, Friday. And now we're back here on Monday to give you the rest. I'm Adam Azer. He is Dave Richard. Hey, Dave.
What's going on? How are you?
Jamie and I have already had our Game of Thrones recap sesh. What's up, Jamie?
We're not going to do it on the air.
No, we're not going to do it on the air. We decided it's bad etiquette.
But the death of the dragon has to be done.
And Matthew Coca's here. We teased it on Friday. We said we're getting Coca here to talk about his awesome team. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, I have no idea why I am here. When you texted me yesterday, I asked you if it was a good or bad thing, and you said, well, you'll have to find out. So,
yeah.
So here I am trying to find out.
Well, I don't know either. I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. But I do know that if you, and we'll do this on the air, if you could maybe speak a little bit more directly into the microphone, it would be helpful. Isn't he supposed to know this? Isn't he a producer?
Yes. Right. I'm as close to the microphone as I possibly can be without the microphone being in my mouth.
It's like in Ren and Stimpy when the big microphone went into Stimpy's nostrils when he was doing a live read for Gritty Kitty. How's that for a 20-year-old reference that no one's going to get?
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Good stuff. All right, well, Matthew, tell us, you first of all, Matthew or Matt?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're both my names, but yeah, I go by Coca.
They're both my names.
It's the same name. Yeah, but
I go by
Coca.
Dave and David.
Tell us what you're what you do at CBS.
Well, I'm a producer. I have a show called Kennell and Bell with Danny Kennell and Raja Bell that's on 5 days a week on CBS Sports HQ. And I've produced a lot of the FFT that is on camera stuff. So the show during the season, I've done a lot of that producing, and I'm just a great fantasy football. What do we call them? Is it a coach, a manager,
player.
Okay. Coach. Yeah, so, no, you are very good. And, we're happy to have you here. And
so we had a fun thing with Coca because, we were nominated for an FSWA award. I think it was FSWA, for FFT. And Coca's one of four producers during the season, but we didn't know which show we were nominated for. So I was giving the four of them like basically the scene with Joker with Heath Ledger where, you know, he breaks the pool stick and says, you know, you fight it out for the two guys for one spot. It was the four of them for who was going to be the one that claimed the winning show of our producers.
Oh. That wasn't such a great story.
Well, you weren't paying attention. Coca enjoyed it.
I wasn't really paying attention.
You got to change your references to Ren and Stimpy. No one remembers the Joker breaking the pool cue scene. Everybody remembers Ren and Stimpy.
But let's talk about the dragon.
Let's get into the draft here. Let's get into the draft. All right, so to recap. Actually, you know what? Let's hit on a few news items real quick. The Patriots signed Austin Seferian Jenkins to a one-year deal last week. Dave, Jamie, does that mean Austin Seferian Jenkins should be drafted?
He was drafted in this draft.
Yeah, should he have been? He went in the 10th round, so he went early 10th round, like 110th-ish overall.
I always find when we do these early drafts, and certainly when people are doing best ball drafts before the NFL draft, you're going to take flyers on guys that are kind of placeholders for where some of these rookies will be. So in this case, I think the Patriots will add a tight end. I didn't necessarily mean it like that, but you're taking guys that you know that have sort of a chance in a good spot, and he has a chance in a good spot, but he's kind of been a terrible player everywhere he's been.
Yeah, he's all right with the Jets, right? And then I guess, like, the Patriots did pretty well with Martellus Bennett 3 years ago when Gronkowski missed 8 games. Bennett had 55 catches, 701 yards, and 7 touchdowns on 73 targets. And that was with Gronkowski playing half the season. But the last 2 years, you've gotten nothing from Dwayne Allen. So, I don't know. Dave, what do you think about ASJ?
As of now, I'm not drafting him. I want to see him earn a starting role with the Patriots before I seriously consider putting him in the top 120.
Aaron Rodgers played through a fractured leg and a sprained MCL last year, so pretty severe injury, and healthy and motivated this year. We don't talk about that. Sean McVay, though, said he expects Todd Gurley to be a focal point of the offense. What do you guys think about that? Sean McVay says Gurley will be a focal point of the offense.
It's encouraging. I mean, look, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be good. You know, there's clearly a risk of re-injuring himself, and, you know, he may be getting to a point where these knees become a problem, or the left knee in particular. But if he's going to, you know, play 16 games, you have to be excited about that. So as long as, again, there's no one else added, I'll move him back up. I'm probably the lowest on him of the three of us, in factoring Heath. I think today's Heath's birthday, by the way.
It is.
So happy birthday, Heath. Yeah, I'll be more encouraged by Gurley as we get closer to the season, and he may end up as a good bargain, even in this draft, going at sixth overall.
Coca, you had what pick did you have in this draft? You had
the eighth
pick. Would you have taken Gurley if he were there at eight?
No, because I'm big. I think everybody knows this in PPR. If it's 1 point per the reception, I'm always taking wide receivers in the first round.
Everybody knows. All of our listeners know that too. Okay, wide receiver. You did take.
You got to understand. Michael Thomas has an audience that listens to our.
Yeah, I have show. 1,000. I have 1,000 Twitter followers.
They all know. Of
but
course,
you have friends to our show, right? You want to give him a shout out?
Yeah, shout out to Mike Mango. He's about to listen today, and hopefully he hears this.
Mm-hmm. What a name.
Is he good at fantasy?
What a name.
Is he good?
Is he good at fantasy? Who, when you play him in fantasy, who wins more often, him or you?
He's one of those guys. He's like you, where he's in like a ton of different leagues, so it's hard for him to pay attention in like our league. Mm-hmm. And I just dominate in our league, so it's
nice.
It's not
fun. I usually walk past Coco on the way to our podcast, and he's like, yo, my boy. You don't understand. My boy, he...
It's Jersey, you know. It's Jersey. You got to show Jersey love.
All right. So those are your news items. Here we go. I'll just go over the first three rounds really quickly and tell you who was drafted and when. It was PPR. It's 12 teams: quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, tight end, kicker, defense, and a flex. Saquon Barkley won. Zeke, Kamara, McCaffrey, Gordon, and Gurley. First six picks were running backs. Jamie had the second pick. He took Zeke. I had the fourth pick, McCaffrey. Although I was late to the draft, so Jamie took McCaffrey for me. Dave had the seventh pick. He took Hopkins. Coca had the eighth pick. He took Michael Thomas. So it was Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, James Conner, David Johnson, and Juju Smith-Schuster. That's your first round. Followed by Joe Mixon, Davante Adams, which we thought was amazing. Like, even 14th overall is just too late for Davante Adams. Patrick Mahomes, too early. Le'Veon Bell, Odell Beckham to Coca. Good pick there. We liked it. Nick Chubb to Dave. Dalvin Cook. Travis Kelce, T.Y. Hilton to me, Zach Ertz, he had a little tight end run here, Tyreek Hill to Jamie, Tariq Cohen, interesting pick at the end of round two, 24th overall. Round three was Keenan. Round three had this run of wide receivers that was just really exciting. Keenan Allen, Antonio Brown, A.J. Green, and Mike Evans. Jamie took Brown, I took Evans. Then Amari Cooper, then George Kittle was a nice pick in the middle of round three. Dave took Damian Williams. We broke down the Aaron Jones pick by Matthew Coca. How did you feel about that pick? I liked it a lot. I think I liked it more than David Jamie did, but we all liked it. But it was my favorite pick of the draft, Coca, Aaron Jones.
Well, I appreciate that. And listen, I'm always going for value, and you're bringing in a new head coach, one I think is going to respect Aaron Jones' ability, and he's going to give him the football. I think we've seen what Aaron Rodgers can do with the weapons that he has. And I think taking a lot off of him is just handing the football off to Aaron Jones and just letting him do his thing. So I figured where he was and who was left on the board, you could see, you know, Leonard Fournette was the next back off the board. I just valued Aaron Jones way more than I did someone like a Leonard Fournette.
Like the pick so much that he took Jamal Williams in round 10.
But I took Jamal Williams.
Yes.
Hey, round 10. That's a great pick. That's the best pick in the draft. I'm going to trade Jamal Williams to, here's my Azar offer. I give you Jamal Williams to handcuff Aaron Jones. You give me, Sony Michel. He's not good in this format anyway.
Mm. Yeah. I'll take deal.
Okay, great.
That's binding.
Why did you take Aaron Jones over Julian Edelman and Adam Thielen? And Stephon Diggs.
Well, because I already had Odell and I had Michael Thomas, and I didn't want to go three wide receivers in a row. And when I saw Aaron Jones on the board and just his late season play last year, it was just, to me, it was a no-brainer to take him being my first running back with that sort of value.
Do you remember?
I'm sorry. It's just an interesting theory, though. Had you taken a receiver there, because essentially what you have now is those two stud receivers and I think two very good running backs in Aaron Jones and Sony Michel. Had you taken which of the guys you mentioned, Adam?
Thielen, Diggs, and Edelman.
Okay, any one of those three guys. Is that an upgrade over Lamar Miller, who is now your flex?
Well, see, in my...
It would be, but it would have cost him Aaron Jones.
But I also saw in
yeah, I guess it's just
who's on my bench is Tyler Lockett. And I think from where I drafted Tyler Lockett and basically Doug Baldwin's slide in this draft, I figured that I could put Tyler Lockett into that flex position with him being the number one wide receiver in Seattle. And maybe we'll talk about Seattle and Russell Wilson and him trying to throw the football more. But it looks like that Lockett is going to be his guy. And I just love his potential in the flex spot.
Do you remember when you drafted Jones, seeing that there was a drop off at running back and maybe that helped push you? Like, obviously the need was there because you took two receivers with your first two picks. But then you see that the other names that were there at running back were guys like Fournette, Michelle, Derrick Henry was taken after Philip Lindsay was taken after. Maybe you figured that Jones was just a notch better than all those guys. And so you took him, figuring that one of the other receivers could potentially make it back to you or one of the other running backs.
I think it was just seeing his name there. Like, I think we were that late, and usually running backs are the guys who fly off the board.
Yep.
So I think I saw his name, and I was just like, why isn't anybody taking him? You know, you had the pick. You had the pick right before him,
course,
and you went
right
with Damian Williams. And I was like, you know what? I can't let him drop off the board because I needed that running back, and I needed someone with RB1 potential, and he's that guy for me.
He was the best guy available at that point.
Getting off of that, though, I mean, I do like the conversation about taking three wide receivers with your first three picks. So let's do the team comparison and what it could have been with three wide receivers versus three running backs, right? So two wide receivers and a running back. So, Jamie, help me out. So he could have had Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham, and let's say Stephon Diggs,
mm-hmm.
and then Sony Michel and Lamar Miller as his running backs?
Right. So it's just a difference of the drop off, because Michelle would now replace Jones and Miller would replace Michelle essentially as the one number one back and then the number two back. So you just be getting it's just a matter of do you value Aaron Jones versus those receivers. It's kind of splitting here.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to round four. After Aaron Jones, it was Edelman, Thielen, Robert Woods, Leonard Fournette. So we're going to start our analysis really with round four. And also, I just, you know, why is Matthew Coca on the show? Because he's not, you know, he's a good, great fantasy player. He's not an analyst. So not trying to put you down at all. You have a different perspective on
things.
But
everybody knows he takes receivers early. Mm-hmm.
Like what you just said about Tyler Lockett, I think needs to be discussed. You basically just called him the number one wide receiver. I'm not sure that I'm willing to go there.
Oh, he is.
In Seattle, he is.
Oh, really? Healthy Doug Baldwin, you're telling me Tyler Lockett
When's the next time Doug Baldwin's going to be healthy?
Well, I don't know. He could very easily go into training camp. He will go into training camp healthy.
He will?
What?
Yeah.
Breaking news?
He's having the surgery. All right, he'll go into the he'll go into the regular season healthy.
Hopefully.
Oh, look at this. I like this news.
You don't think so?
Breaking news. Don't know. We know he's having significant surgery this offseason.
Third one.
Okay. All right.
He's going under the nut.
So then I'm the one who has the different view. Anyway, just fresh perspective and helpful stuff. Philip Lindsay, first pick of round four. Stephon Diggs, Jarvis Landry, Derrick Henry, Sony Michel to Coca, Kenny Golladay to Dave. Lindsay, Diggs, Landry, Henry, Michel, and Golladay. Thoughts?
All very good players. You know, it's just a matter of how they'll respond in some certain situations. You know, Lindsay and Landry are probably the two that could really kind of change a little bit based on what happened a year ago. Obviously, Landry gets a better player on the field with him at the same position in Odell Beckham. So you have to wonder if he'll still get the 149 targets he had a year ago. But he also could benefit from playing more on the inside and a little bit lighter coverage. And Lindsay, the one staying force in that Broncos coaching staff is the running back coach. He told me that at the Pro Bowl, that was, you know, kind of, or the Super Bowl, I forget when the hire was made, but that was encouraging for him. But he also himself said that the team needs to see more from Royce Freeman in particular, which you would expect would happen a little bit, especially the way Freeman closed the season. Plus, you have the wrist injury for Lindsay. How healthy will he be coming off that flexor injury. Hopefully he'll be the same guy, but you know, there could be some, you know, setback in his recovery.
Question on Landry. Really bad finish to the season. Basically when Freddie Kitchens took over. So should he really be a fourth round pick? Should he be a top 40 pick? Landry?
Couldn't the case be made in PPR for it because of what we know about him as a reception getter?
Well, yeah, he had 81 last year. It's not like he had 100, like, you know.
Yeah, I think his stats will kind of be in the same range that they are now, but I do think you could see maybe an uptick in one or two touchdowns. He's got to be 90-plus receptions to justify it in the fourth round. I think it's a little too soon, especially with some of the other guys around the board. But, you know, you are hoping that Baker takes a step forward. I do think, you know, one thing to not overlook with this Browns team is Todd Monken as part of the play calling. I don't know if he's going to be.
It's Kitchens.
No, I know that, but I don't know if it's going to be, you know, Monken having 50% say in what the game plan is going into the week, 80% say, 100% say, and Kitchens is the one calling the plays. Kitchens is the one designing the whole playbook. You know, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds. But Monken's influence will certainly help, and Baker's maturation in year two will help. So, you know, Landry could still be, you know, a significant factor. It's just a matter of how much, you know, you're talking about Beckham's getting 160 targets when he's playing 16 games. That's basically what his pace is. And Landry's been above that. Last year was 149.
I'm just gonna make it kind of hot here. I hated the pick. That was a bad pick. I would much rather Kenny Golladay.
To see him go ahead of Golladay and some of the other players in this round, but you can argue Godwin.
Oh, that's a terrible pick. I'm sorry.
But you can argue it that those two guys maybe a little bit too high, but still, that's the kind of range. But Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks going the next round.
Right,
you know, that's a little hard to justify.
I think people who take Landry that early are banking on him beating lesser coverage and realizing that last year he saw really tough coverage as the number one receiver in Cleveland.
But playing on the outside.
And now he's not going to do that. He'll be in the slot more often than not. And any defense that comes up against the Browns and plays their safeties back and double teams against Odell, Baker will take advantage with Landry. I think it's going to be hard to see consistency from him this year. I don't think he'll be very consistent.
Okay, so you took Matthew Koga. You took a guy who had 7 catches last year. This is a PPR league. Sony Michel, were you concerned at all about his lack of involvement in the passing game?
No, because I think that's why, you know, having the Odell and the Michael Thomas on my team are guys that, like, I'm hoping will pick up all that slack that Sony Michel's not going to get in the receiving game, but he's going to pick up on the ground. And he's just another one of those guys. Like last year, you sort of saw what he can do in that offense, and Tom Brady's getting older, and Tom Brady just lost Rob Gronkowski. So I think this is another situation where he's just going to be like an Aaron Jones, where they're going to help out their quarterback by giving him the football. I think, you know, he'd looked like he's one of the best running backs that the Patriots have had in a long time, and we saw that in small bursts. So this is another guy I saw on the board. I saw the value, I saw the potential, and I liked the pick.
I loved it. I think you saw really what he could be in the postseason. You know, that's what the hope is, that you're drafting that guy that scored 6 touchdowns in 3 postseason games, you know, and could be the catalyst of this offense because of everything that he just said, that Matt just said about the offense most likely changing. You know, you don't lose Gronk and have Brady, you're older. And, you know, I know Isaiah Wynn coming back at the left tackle spot will hopefully be okay, but, you know, still unproven as a, you know, rookie who missed time last season. You know, the Patriots are all about just getting to January and winning. And so can they get there with Michel, who did not have a great regular season and dealt with some injuries, but I think can take another step forward in the passing game, but certainly can dominate on the ground.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this the order? So we had 3 rookies, or they were rookies last year, go in this fourth round with Philip Lindsay, then Sony Michel, and then Kerryon Johnson to end that round. Do you see that being the order in which they should be drafted?
What a question.
Next season?
Look at this guy stepping up in the host role here. Good question.
I like Michel
question.
Better than both those guys.
In PPR?
Mm-hmm.
I've got Michel and Lindsay back-to-back in PPR. Michelle's one spot higher.
Is it crazy to take James White over Sony Michel in PPR?
I like White better than all those guys. I was thrilled when he was there for me.
No, I don't think White can replicate last year.
He might be better.
He had 12 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to repeat.
How many catches did he have? Like 80, 90?
He was...
87.
He was the seventh best PPR running back, I believe, last year.
By the way, the Patriots did run the ball the third most times in the NFL last year, 30 per game. Okay, so that would be, let me just recap here where we're at. First six picks of this round, round four. Lindsey, Diggs, Landry, Derrick Henry, Sony Michel, and Kenny Golladay. And then Chris Godwin goes next. Andrew Luck, I talked about the Andrew Luck pick on the Friday show. Just unfortunately for Tommy Tran, who took Luck there, there just was no run at quarterback after that. You had to wait three more rounds, I think. The end of round six, sorry, two more rounds before the quarterbacks came off the board. So Luck is the second quarterback off the board, kind of stood out. I took Devontae Freeman, then Marlon Mack, and then Jamie took Evan Ingram, and then Kerryon Johnson closes out round four. I think we're okay there. Do you cool with Marlon Mack in between Devontae Freeman and Kerryon Johnson?
Yeah, that was a great pick. That was a little low, to be honest with you.
Okay. Brandon Cooks is the first pick of round five. Then Jamie took James White. James White is going to be interesting because he probably won't score those touchdowns. But
does he get 87 catches?
This offense,
seems
it's
realistic,
hard to overlook it.
Right? Why wouldn't he get at least 75?
I think that's easy for him if he's healthy. Okay, I mean, who is he throwing to right now?
We'll do some quick math.
Does it bother you that he's never had more than 60 catches in a season until last year?
Not at all.
Okay.
No, it makes sense. So how many touchdowns do you want to give James White?
I'd say 8.
Okay.
I'm fine with 8.
And how many catches?
85.
70.
Okay, let's say 75. So that would have made him, I think, the number 10 running back in PPR last year instead of number 8, maybe number 11.
Still.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't slice his yardage. We sliced his touchdowns and
catches.
That's true.
That's true. We didn't
slice
his yardage.
We're just going to have him average, you know.
I think his rushing yards are about the same, and I think his receiving total, his receiving average will be the same.
He had 1176 total. And if we're going to cut off
12 catches,
so that's like 15% less. You want to take off 15% of his yardage?
No, I think we're getting
that's 1,000 yards. It's 1,008 with 75 catches.
All right, it's a top 15 running back. Cooper Kupp is next in round five. Mark Ingram to me, Chris Carson, and then Robbie Anderson. So we sort of talked about how at this point in the draft, as soon as Cooks and Kupp come off the board, and I would imagine in most leagues they're coming off the board before Chris Godwin, we're seeing a drop in tier at wide receiver because Robbie Anderson, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd, Sammy Watkins, DJ Moore, not, you know, exciting prospects in a lot of cases, but just not proven. So we are at that point in the draft, and we are about 50 picks in when Brandon Cooks, James White, and Cooper Kupp come off the board. Mark Ingram, Chris Carson, Robbie Anderson. Guys, what do you think about Chris Carson here in the middle of round five, you know, around 53rd overall?
It's fine.
Yep. I think it's okay value considering that the running back position peters out real quick here.
And Tommy's running backs are, he took Melvin Gordon in round one, and this is his RB2. Melvin Gordon, Travis Kelce, Amari Cooper, Andrew Luck. That's the pick that kills me. And then Chris Carson. I mean, you give him Marlon Mack instead of Andrew Luck, you know.
It's a much better looking squad.
Or Brandon Cooks.
No, Carson in five.
I think keep Carson, but if he takes.
Yeah.
Cooks or Kupp.
Right. Okay, keep Carson if you want, sure, but give him Marlon Mack instead of Andrew Luck. Give him Cooks instead of Luck.
No, put the receiver there.
Sure. Well, okay. Put the receiver there. All right, Coca, you're on the clock. Dave took Tevin Coleman. Actually, that's a pick that should be discussed. We discussed it on Friday. Never mind. Coca, you took Lamar Miller. So that was your third running back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. I'm going to give out a little hot take here. Ooh. But I think Lamar Miller might be the most disrespected fantasy running back in a while.
Oh, so Heath is here. That's good.
Like since 2014, the guy's never had a season with less than 178 fantasy points. He's only 27 years old. And now that offense, like we've seen when that offense is hitting at all cylinders, we've seen what that offense can look like with Deshaun Watson's growth, with DeAndre Hopkins turning into one of the best wide receivers in football. If they have a healthy Will Fuller, like this offense, this when they click, they're one of the best in football. So I think Lamar Miller is that guy. It doesn't really look like what Deonta Foreman. It doesn't really, you know, he's been hurt. He's been injury plagued. So I think Lamar Miller being 27 years old with the fantasy production that he's had consistently over 5+ seasons, I think him as an RB3 is a perfect spot to be in.
What if he was your RB2?
I don't think you're going to see anybody drafting him in that regard unless it's like the Tommy situation where you're settling for somebody. But I think this is kind of the spot where Lamar Miller, if he still holds the job, that's the thing, because there is some thought that Houston may draft one of the, you know, guys. I don't know. It'll be, you know, a Josh Jacobs with their first pick because they need to address a lot of other things. But it could be, I've seen that with a couple mock drafts. But you could see a situation where they do look for somebody there, just because not only Lamar Miller just kind of not necessarily hitting that next level where I think they thought that that's the kind of guy they were getting when they signed him, but Foreman also coming back to form after the Achilles injury. So they do need to work on their depth there. But I mean, you're right in one hand that Lamar Miller is just kind of been steady. He just hasn't been sexy. You know, he hasn't had a lot of big production for an offense that has been explosive. And you also have this offensive line that just needs to be retooled in a big, big way, which they haven't really done much to do so.
Yeah, but if you look at the second half of his season, you know, he had 17, 19, 13, 23, 12, 15 fantasy points. And that's when that offense really looked like we all thought it would all season.
He goes underrated.
The other aspect of what you brought up is about drafting one of these rookie running backs. And it's just, I'm not really afraid of any of them. Like, you know, when Saquon was coming in, you're like, that's a dude you need on your team. Christian McCaffrey, that's a dude you need on your team. But Josh Jacobs, like, you want to talk about sexy names, like a running back who's going to be drafted at the end, towards the end of round one, like that really to me.
Well, Sony Michel was.
Yeah, but Sony Michel was also a guy coming off of knee injuries.
And he went in the middle, toward the middle of fantasy drafts last year. People weren't targeting.
No, but it's not about fantasy. It's about the impact on the Texans.
Yeah,
it's a separate conversation.
Miller's had opportunities. He just, other than that, like 7-game stretch in the middle of this season, middle of last season, he has not been great with the Texans. I don't think he's going to average 4.6 yards per carry again. But I do see your point. I mean, he's a steady running back. He doesn't really catch the ball that much. So you know, you've got Aaron Jones, Sony Michel, and Lamar Miller. I don't know if you have a 50 catch running back on your roster. And I do wonder, guys, if you need that this day and age in PPR. You know, you can't just rely on your wide receivers for catches. You got to get some from running backs. If there are enough running backs that catch 50 passes, I think you probably want to have one. I don't know if it's imperative. What do you guys think?
Depends on the one, because, like, I have two that were top 10 in receptions last year. Now, Jalen Richard is the opposite of James White.
Well, you have Zeke and Richard.
Well, James White and Richard. Forget about Zeke.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Zeke and James. Richard. Richard sucks.
No, he doesn't. And Jalen Richard is somebody that if he had scored 5 touchdowns.
Which he never does.
Well, it means he's been in the NFL for 2 seasons. So if he had scored 5 touchdowns, then you're talking about someone that if his reception totals stay the same, and we don't know what this backfield is going to look like. The thought is they're going to bring somebody else in. But if it's Crowell and Richard, Jalen Richard is going to be awesome next year in PPR.
So is Antonio Brown.
No, he's not going to be awesome. He is. First of all, he's been in the league 3 years. He has scored 3 touchdowns. He is just – all he does is catch passes. He does nothing with it. No. Jalen Richard's a – he needs to get some work in the running game and score some touchdowns. Otherwise, he's Duke Johnson.
But you just said that you need to have a 50-catch running back.
Yeah, but you need to have a 50-catch running back that scores – Or
he's
is it
do something with the 50 catch?
Yeah, like the guys, he's a nothing. I remember
let's have this conversation again after the draft, and let's see what they do.
They have Crowell. Crowell's their guy.
Okay.
He's the guy today.
Jalen
Richard is not their guy.
Let's have this conversation again about Jalen Richard after the draft and see what they have.
Okay, but Jalen Richard in his career has one game with more than 10 carries. He had 11 carries one time. That's a career high. I'm almost positive about that.
Right. You're drafting Jalen Richard for the catches. You're only going to do it in PPR.
Which are what? They're going to go. His catches are going to go up with the addition of Tyra Williams and Antonio Brown? I think not. Okay.
No, I bet it's consistent.
Let's keep going here because we are not getting through enough of
this
draft.
10 PPR point fill-in.
I'd like to get through 10 rounds here. We're in round 5. Lamar Miller, Mike Williams, Jared Cook, O.J. Howard, and Tyler Boyd. We take O.J. Howard over Cook, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you feel about this group of receivers. Robbie Anderson, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd, and then going right into round 6, DJ Moore and Sammy Watkins. So Robbie Anderson, Mike Williams, 10 touchdowns last year. Tyler Boyd, DJ Moore, Sammy Watkins.
I think Robbie Anderson's going to get a little – I was surprised he went this high because I thought he was actually going to get overlooked a little bit. I like what's coming out of the reports coming out of New York about him. I think he's going to actually, you know, be maybe have a career season. You know, just depending on if his targets can stay consistent, he can stay healthy. Williams is going to be interesting because you have 65 targets that have to be spread out now with Tyrell Williams gone. Now, you take the 60 or so targets Antonio Gates got also, and so you talk 120 targets between Hunter Henry coming back, and then where else do they go? And I think Mike Williams will see a little bit of a boost. Can he score as much? But he certainly proved himself to be a good red zone threat last year. So I like Mike Williams, that this is a little bit too high.
Well, who's your favorite in this group? Anderson, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd, DJ Moore, Sammy
Watkins. It's actually two guys that went in the 6th round. It's DJ Moore and Dante Pettis. But I do think that Tyler Boyd at the end of this round, you know, should have probably gone ahead of both Anderson and Williams based on what he showed last year.
I'll take Boyd because the catches count. And I think he's going to be just as much of a factor this year as he was last year. The offense coming in definitely makes room for slots to have a big role.
I'm taking Robbie Anderson. I really think this is another one of those things where I look at late in the season and I see, you know, you see sort of the development of player and quarterback. And I think Sam Darnold takes a nice little leap in year
he
two.
He did do that late in the year.
And Robbie Anderson is a guy, like, if he can keep his off-field issues at bay, I think he's a guy who can turn into a 1,000-yard receiver by the end of the season.
He had one of my favorite quotes so far this offseason. He said, I didn't take any vacation because I didn't earn it last year. So, you know, the fact that he seems to be, without getting in trouble, with saying the right things, doing the right things, upgrading coach, upgrading quarterback, or improve quarterback, upgrade talent around him, I think he can have a career season.
46 targets in his last 5 games.
Yeah, and in 3 of his last 4 games, he had 76 yards and a touchdown or more, but he had a touchdown in weeks 14, 15, and 16. And then we weren't really surprised. Anderson had a bad game at New England in week 17, but we kind of called that because that's what New England does. They shut down number one options. All right.
If you look at it, though, you know, outside of Pettis and Moore, and I guess Lockett also, but, you know, just looking at these next 2 rounds, he's the only number one receiver because Boyd's the number 2, Williams is number 2. You know, Anderson's the number 1 guy there.
But you included DJ Moore, right, as number 1?
Yeah, DJ Moore is the number 1 guy, but is he a dominant number 1 guy? Like, I don't know if Anderson will be a dominant number 1 guy, but he's going to, you know, certainly get more targets than DJ Moore.
All right, here's round 6. Actually, we'll come back. We're going to take a quick break here on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, round 6 and hopefully 7, 8, 9, and 10 right after this.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
DJ Moore and Sammy Watkins are the first 2 picks of round 6. Kenyon Drake, Darius Geis. So the running backs are getting a little, you know, they're flyers. They're not flyers, but they obviously have some downside here, and makes sense.
I like Drake in the spot.
Right, but there's obviously a downside, right? I mean,
I'm sure
he's not safe. None of these guys are safe. Drake, Geis, Tyler Lockett to Koka, Dante Pettis to Dave. That was one of Jamie's favorite picks. Jerick McKinnon is one of Jamie's least favorite picks. Calvin Ridley, Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan. Quarterback run at the end of the round, four in a row. All right, Koka, you're pretty confident in Tyler Lockett. So he had 71 targets and 10 touchdowns. That's obviously not sustainable, but what do you think? I mean, 57 catches, 965 yards. Do you think he's just a lot more involved in the passing game? I mean, is he going to be close, Tyler Lockett, to like 100 targets in your mind?
Well, I think he's going to have to be, or we should find out shortly if he's going to be, because today is decision day for Russell Wilson. And if they're going to spend that much money on Russell Wilson as, you know, $30 million plus, then they're going to have to let him throw the football more. And if we're talking about Doug Baldwin, you know, third offseason surgery, Tyler Lockett is going to be the guy. He's always been that safety valve for Russell Wilson. Like we saw it last year with all these, just spectacular catches and all the touchdowns that he had. He was really consistent there. So I think, you know, he's a guy who, if you look at the stats, he had 71 targets to 57 receptions. I think he's somebody who you're going to see like a big jump in targets. And that's why I liked him as sort of my flex guy. And I think it's sort of just matchup dependent, too. I think we, you know, with having the Odell Beckham and having the Michael Thomas as my two main guys, this is someone I can wait and see on. And see after the first few weeks, okay, is he getting those targets? You know, is he getting those receptions? And if he's not, maybe, you know, he's someone that I can just use as sort of trade bait.
So I want to ask Koka a question here, just a philosophical question, right? So Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham, Aaron Jones, Sony Michel, Lamar Miller, Tyler Lockett. Do you, when you do a PPR draft, I mean, how concerned are you about catches? I know it might sound like a silly question, but I wonder if the last four picks you've made up at this point, rounds 3 through 6, are low catch guys, even though three of them are running backs, but for their position. And are you, maybe you disagree, but are you concerned about that? Was that something that was on your mind, or you just say, I'm going to just take the best player and not worry about that?
Well, someone in Tyler Lockett's case, he's one of those guys that I just think is going to get the football more. But if we're talking about the running backs, it's just, you know, how many points do touchdowns count as? And it's just you get the 6 points for touchdowns. And I think these are, you know, an Aaron Jones and a Sony Michel are guys who are going to score more, and they're going to score a lot, and they're going to run the football a lot. So, yeah, I'm going to lose out on those, you know, those PPR, the bonus points, if you want to call them that. But if I'm getting, you know, 13 fantasy points a game plus from Sony Michel and Aaron Jones, then I'm happy with that. I'm content with that, knowing that in Odell and a Michael Thomas that I think I'm going to get, you know, anywhere from, you know, 7 to 8 catches a game or something along those lines from those guys. So I'm not really, you know, I want potential, you know, sure. I want the value. I want to take risks. And that's basically how I draft. And, you know, sometimes I miss on guys, and that's why, you know, I have Ian Thomas as my tight end. But I just think that Tyler Lockett's going to be one of those guys who's really going to take off this year.
Well, let me ask you a question, because you keep throwing out the 50 catch number for running backs and what you think they need to get to. Is there a reception number for receivers, in your opinion, that has to be like a minimum to feel safe? Because like guys like Tyler Lockett and Mike Williams and, you know, throwing like a Will Fuller or, you know, lesser scale like DeSean Jackson and Tyrell Williams, guys that don't obviously catch a lot of passes, but you're hoping that they're, I don't know if 8 is the number, but, you know, around 8 touchdowns per season, you know, and maybe close to 1,000 yards, where the big play potential is what carries them. Is there a number at the receiver position for you that you say this is the number I want to sort of achieve?
No, not necessarily. 70? I think if a guy is not going to catch 70 passes.
I had 75 in my mind is what you're going to say. So 70 makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like actually
if he gets 70, 1,100 and 8 touchdowns from Tyler Lockett.
Yep. Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that's an amazing season.
True season for him in terms of receptions, but
and yeah. Yards. Right. I mean, that would be a great season. I think I concern myself more with catches when it comes to running backs. I think I'm at that point now where you know, the game has changed to the point where you just have a lot of running backs that do catch a lot of balls. And in a PPR league, if you don't have one, you might be at a disadvantage. This is a topic that this is just off the top of my head, so I have to really dig into it. But I do consider that on draft day. And because on this team I have Christian McCaffrey, you know, that makes up for a lot of it. He's getting 100 catches most likely.
But you don't like Jalen Richard.
Because he doesn't do anything with it. He's just such a nothing. Okay, moving on. Keep going here in the draft. Where are we? Round 7. The last four picks of round 6 were Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, and Matt Ryan. We go to Eric Ebron to start round 7. Jamie took Josh Jacobs. Who'd you take there?
Josh Jacobs,
okay. Allen Robinson, Hunter Henry.
That took the starting running back for the Texans.
Hunter Henry, Will Fuller, and Ito Smith. Eric Ebron, Danny Woodhead, Allen Robinson, Hunter Henry, Will Fuller, Ito Smith.
No, Josh Jacobs, not Danny Woodhead.
Oh, my God, right. Yeah. Eric Ebron, Josh Jacobs. I'm Ron Burgundy here. I'll read whatever's in front of me. So we draft Danny Woodhead as a placeholder for Josh Jacobs. Yeah, I took Hunter Henry because I really wanted a tight end with a lot of potential. I talked about that on Friday's show. Will Fuller, Ito Smith. Dave, your pick was Alshon Jeffrey in this round. Koka took Russell Wilson. Then we had Jordan Howard, Kiki QT, Isaiah Crowell, and Jay Ajayi. So I know, Dave, you didn't like Crowell and Ajayi. How did you feel about Jordan Howard? Where are we in the draft? Like 82nd overall, 80th overall, something like that?
Well, it's completely different. Jordan Howard, in the case of Ajayi, he's not on a team. I can't take him at this point. Jordan Howard, I think, has a chance to remain the lead back for Philadelphia to at least begin the season, at least the first quarter of the season. I think Crowell could get replaced pretty quickly. I don't think
if they don't draft someone?
First of all, I fully expect them to draft someone.
Sure.
If they don't, he's going to face competition in camp from the other guys that they have. Not that the other guys are amazing talents themselves. We'll see what they have in Chris Warren. But I would be surprised if Isaiah Crowell became a bigger factor than Jordan Howard will be in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Howard's better. I don't have a problem with Crowell at this spot if he's the guy in Oakland, as in the first and second down guy.
He's the first and second down guy all season long.
Yeah, then this is a perfect spot for him.
It's probably a steal if that's what he is.
Okay.
I don't know how many people are banking on that.
I'm going to do one more round here. I'm going to say a name, and you just tell me good pick or bad pick. Marvin Jones. We're in round 8. Marvin Jones.
Great pick.
Yep.
Coco, you feel free to jump in there as well. Latavius Murray.
Good pick.
This is round 8?
Yep.
I think you could have waited one more round.
Well, probably not because this is 23 picks away from his next pick, 22 picks. So.
Okay. Did he have to have Latavius Murray? Does he also have Alvin Kamara?
No.
I don't understand the rush to get Latavius Murray then.
Okay. David Njoku.
Too soon.
Good pick.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Great pick.
Very good pick.
Okay. Koka took Curtis Samuel.
Oh, wonderful pick. Wonderful pick. A plus.
I
thought it was a little too soon.
Was that a rookie receiver and just Curtis Samuel as a placeholder or?
Wow. That's how we feel.
I was surprised. That caught me by surprise, Curtis Samuel. Coco, you have 20 seconds. Tell me what you were, 10 seconds. What were you thinking there?
He's just another guy that I thought potential. I just look at these guys and look at the numbers that they put up towards the end of the season and these nice late season stretches. And I think that's sort of what I'm basing some of these picks on. And because Christian McCaffrey isn't going to catch that many footballs again.
Okay.
Do you have, I'm only laughing because that was Adam's guy.
And I just said he was going to catch 100 passes. Yeah.
We did this draft, and I know this isn't an obvious thing about him on its own, but Chris Hogan joining the Panthers, that impacts these guys in some capacity. You know, it's like a couple catches a game if he plays 16 games from DJ Moore and from Curtis Samuel. Would you feel as comfortable with Curtis Samuel here still?
Yeah, Chris Hogan, he's just another guy that doesn't scare me. And I just think that they can do so many more creative things with Curtis Samuel Like, I think they were finally figuring out how to use him in this offense and how to sort of alleviate some of the pressure off of Christian McCaffrey. And I think that they're going to be able to build on that. So he could be a guy who gets a couple carries a game. He could be a guy who, you know, they could put in the backfield and throw him the football like they've done with McCaffrey. So even based off Hogan signing, I'm still not concerned.
All right, Samuel had 72 or more yards in three of his last five games. He had four touchdowns in his last eight games. So he did come on strong, and that is obviously something that is important to Matthew Coca. No problem there. All right, Carlos Hyde, good pick or bad pick? Dave Richard, your pick?
It was a necessary pick. So for me, it was a good pick. I think if you didn't need Carlos Hyde, it would have been a bad pick.
I think it's a good pick. And he and Latavius Murray are very similar. They're going to be, I think, impactful at some point during the season. In Hyde's case, it could be more so than a lot of the guys that went here, because I'm not a Damian Williams believer in finishing the season, because he's had 50 carries in the season, or his career high.
Christian Kirk.
Great pick.
Yeah, good pick.
LeSean McCoy.
Good pick.
Doug Baldwin.
I'll say it's a good pick.
Too soon.
This late, it's a good pick.
That's my pick. Come on, it's a great pick.
What are you, Will Brinson?
So we're supposed to be done with the show right now, but we're not, and I have to babysit. So I'm going to hold my kid
here. Look at
here
that, he's there with
for
you.
For the end of the show.
Come on,
see
put
how
him on
he
the
goes
air.
Hey, put him on the air.
Come say hi.
He's got his little Sophie toy. Golden Tate.
I thought that was a very good pick.
Too soon.
Too soon? Come on, we're more than 90, we're 93 picks
overall.
In. 94 picks.
Too soon. In a PPR, I'm fine with Golden Tate here.
Okay, give me a wide receiver you would have taken after Golden Tate.
Allison and Corey Davis.
Mike Davis to Jamie.
Good pick.
Can I ask a question real quick about the Bears? Is this a team that you could see taking a running back?
Yes.
No, they don't have enough draft capital.
They
will add another running back that weekend. Maybe it's an undrafted guy. If they don't, then they're kind of telling you what direction they want to go in, which is
I'm looking at this.
A lot of pass heavy.
They have no first round pick, no second round pick, no sixth round pick.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, but I just like.
But they also don't have many needs. Yeah. So I think they're going to go best available
with a lot of these picks. Do you think Mike Davis is going to be that guy?
I love Mike Davis. Yeah. He's one of my favorite sleepers this year.
Okay.
And Sterling Shepard, last pick of round eight. Two picks after Golden Tate.
Too soon.
Oh, the Giants are really.
I'm not a Sterling guy.
The Giants really lock up both of those guys with long term deals. That would be great. All right, so that's eight rounds of our draft. And who were some of the rookie wide receivers that were taken later, Jamie?
DK Metcalf, N'Keal Harry. I think there's like seven of them.
Yeah, were there seven receivers taken? I know that Hakeem Butler got taken. I know that Marquise Brown. I believe it was Metcalf and then Brown. Receiver ahead of him?
Metcalf, Brown, A.J. Brown. Sorry, Marquise Brown, A.J. Brown. And then N'Keal Harry, I know, was taken. Hakeem Butler was taken. And I think that might have been it.
Butler went before Harry.
How about running backs?
Harry was the last receiver, rookie receiver taken. Mm-hmm.
Dave took Miles Sanders in the last round.
That was, my last pick.
Okay, the results are on the website. Check it out. And let's recap our teams. Coca, tell us about your team and what you like and what you didn't like.
Well, Robbie Anderson was one of the guys that I just missed out on drafting, and that's how I got into the whole Lamar Miller situation. But what we didn't talk about is on my bench I have Duke Johnson and I have Deion Lewis. And I think if we're looking for, you know, Azar, you brought up having a 50 reception running back on my team. We didn't get to talk about Deion Lewis. And I think he's another dude who, you know, what is this Titans offense? I don't know. I don't really know what it is. And they're bringing in another offensive coordinator. So are they going to give this guy the football? Are they going to throw him the football and use him like the Patriots did? Or are they still going to look like the sloppy Titans that we've seen for how many seasons in a row?
Yeah, I'm nervous about the Titans. They promoted their tight ends coach, who's kind of been a hanger on with the franchise for a while. He's going to use somebody else's playbook. And I think they really want to try and just grind it out with Derrick Henry. I think they're going to ride Henry. I think they're starting to get a little nervous about what they have in Marcus Mariota. how far off are Deion Lewis and Duke Johnson from Jalen Richard, being that they are 50 catch candidates, but what can they do with the 50 catches?
Duke, I think, is a great pick now, because if he gets traded and gets traded to a situation that could be an upgrade, because it's a downgrade right now. Look, he's got 8 games to be the number 2 guy and then half a season to be the number 3 guy, most likely. So if they can somehow flip him for value and he ends up in a spot where he can sort of become that pass catching back for a certain team, then I think you're in a great spot. So I actually liked it when you made that pick. I thought that was very smart.
And the other thing with the Deion Lewis, Jalen Richard thing is Lewis had 155 carries last year. So he's getting the football way more than a Richard is. So even if he's not doing everything he can with those catches, sure, he's still getting the ball to him. One of the guys I want to ask about is Zay Jones. He's one of the late wide receivers that I picked up on. And like, I think you guys can sense the trend that I'm going with, which is like
crappy
late
players.
Crappy players you're going to cut in the first
late season surge.
The late season blooms. He had a 24-point game, a 17-point game.
He was very good to end the season.
Well, he crushed Miami, which is where two of his games were. Yeah. But it's just, you know, what do you guys think of that Buffalo offense? Because one of the guys I really wanted to take was Robert Foster.
Didn't you like him last year?
Yeah. He's one of those guys that I think he can burst out onto.
He
the
could,
scene.
But you know, adding John Brown is certainly a detractor to both those guys.
As a Ravens fan, I can attest. Well, that John Brown.
You should love John Brown with Joe Flacco. You should hate John Brown with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think that they're trying to find speedy receivers that they can just keep rolling out play after play as an outlet for Josh Allen if a play breaks down, and then they've got short area targets like Zay Jones, who I think can handle that role. Cole Beasley was added. He's obviously a good slot receiver that Josh Allen could check down to. So I they don't really have that.
I'm gonna sign off, guys. You guys can finish out without me. Thank you.
There he is. He's got the baby on his lap.
You can end the show.
Nah,
the cat is.
It's okay. I want you guys to talk about your team. We got about 5 minutes left, so go ahead and recap your teams. My child's freaking out right now. He does not like Zay Jones. But I have Aaron Rodgers, Christian McCaffrey, and Devontae Freeman, T.Y. Hilton and Mike Evans, Hunter Henry, Mark Ingram, or Geronimo Allison, or Doug Baldwin at flex. I like my team a lot because I have a great quarterback in Rodgers. I have potentially a great tight end in Hunter Henry. I have 100-catch, or let's say 90-catch Christian McCaffrey, Evans and Hilton, who I got in rounds 2 and 3. I like Devontae Freeman. I was happy with my team, and I took the Bears. I took the Bears DST. I was the first one to take a DST. I do that a lot because I feel like at the end of the draft, the players, they're interchangeable. So in our drafts, nobody takes defenses early, so I took the Bears, and I was happy to do it.
Because it's a mock. You don't have to do that.
Well, I think you do. I mean,
you can do what you want.
I take it. What did I take them in, like round 13 out of 15? 12. So anyway... 11. Okay, not as early as I thought. Anyway, Jamie and Dave, talk about your teams, and we will talk to you guys later in the week. So bye for me. Go ahead.
Interesting way for him to go out of here. I'll go with my team next. I like it. Jared Goff is the quarterback. Nick Chubb, Damian Williams at running back are starters for me. It's a risky pick. Williams, easily the riskiest pick that I made. But I feel good about what I have around him. Not only do I have his backup on my bench in Carlos Hyde, but my receivers are DeAndre Hopkins, Kenny Galladay. I'm going to get by with Chris Herndon as my tight end to begin the season. I've got options at flex between Dante Pettis, Tevin Coleman, and Alshon Jeffrey. I've got Rashad Penny on my bench for when he takes over for Chris Carson, if he takes over for Chris Carson. A couple of rookie running backs, Damian Harris, Miles Sanders. Big surprise, my bench is loaded with running backs, Texans DST, and I have a kicker. Jamie.
I took Ezekiel Elliott in round 1, and then I decided I was going to take 2 receivers with Tyreek Hill and Antonio Brown, my next 2 picks. Evan Ingram in round 4, then James White in round 5. I mentioned this on the show last week that I'm not going to just continue to reach for backup running backs or backup receivers if I don't have to. So I took Deshaun Watson in round 6. And then I took a couple rookie running backs along the way with Josh Jacobs and David Montgomery. I love Mike Davis, where I was able to get him. I love Jalen Richard because I think he's got the chance to be a little bit better in terms of his fantasy production with the same reception total.
Nah,
so I think he'll score a couple touchdowns.
I don't think
Look, who's still here. we talked about the pick I regretted, which was Corey Davis over Geronimo Allison last week. I love getting Devin Funchess in the double-digit rounds because I think he's got the potential to be this year's Eric Ebron as a guy that goes through the Colts car wash and has a much better season and maybe his best season ever. And I took with one of my last picks was Emmanuel Sanders, who has the chance to, if healthy, be a steal. I think I'm in the 13th round, so I was happy about that.
I think the receiver depth you built was great. I'd love to spend another 4 or 5 minutes on Devin Funchess, but I'm getting the high sign from Daddy that we got to wrap it up. So from Adam Azer, for Matthew Coca, for Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Dave Richard. This has been Fantasy Football Today. Na, 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 na.